You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone calls. Dr. Steve in New York, New York. Hi, Steve.
Hank, I haven't spoken to the Institute or you for a long time.
Well, glad to have you on the air.
My question deals with a particular theologian, Donald G. Bloch. And the main criticism I read about him is that he doesn't seem to hold Scripture in high regard, and yet when I read his writings, he says he does. So I'm wondering what you would say about that.
Well, I mean, I think that he wants it both ways, because what he is saying on the one hand is that the culture of the time was okay for the mores of the time, but the mores that were communicated in ancient culture are no longer applicable to our time. Not only that, but there's a lot of error in the Bible in terms of particulars. And I think in both cases, he's just dead wrong. In fact, what's happened in recent years in particular is archaeology has exposed the bloviations of people that try to say that the Bible is incorrect in its people, places, and particulars, and demonstrated that it is actually correct in its most minute details. And not only that, but I think it's also important to recognize that the ethos, mores, civil liberties, art, language, science, even jurisprudence of Western civilization come as a direct result of a biblical worldview. And therefore, the ethos or the mores of biblical times are perfectly applicable today. The real sad thing is that we stand in the shadow of the Bible today rather than in the pages of the Bible. And as a result of that, we don't know where we got our liberties to begin with.
All right. Okay, Hank. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Samantha in California. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Hank. I'm glad you took my call. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's nice to talk to you.
Okay. Good. Hey, so I'm just having a hard time because I recently acknowledged that I am, in fact, a drug addict, and it's out of control. But also, I am a believer in Jesus, which I know contradicts each other. But I need, like, a practical way to be able to access my faith.
Well, first of all, I mean, what you just said is not a contradiction. I mean, you can be a drug addict and a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ, but I think as a follower of Jesus Christ, you obviously want to do something about it.
Right. I'm working on it. My drug of choice right now is opiates, and so my doctor is stepping me slowly off of them so that I don't go through withdrawal symptoms. And I'm working with my doctor, and I'm cooperating. My husband is helping me. And I do meetings, I do Celebrate Recovery, and so I'm doing all of that. It's just I feel like there's like a disconnect whenever I try to talk to God about it, I guess.
Well, and I don't think you should feel that way at all. First of all, I commend you for all that you're doing, and I think the Lord is pleased with that. And what you need to do, Samantha, is just go to the Lord as you are. Christianity is not a place for perfect people. It's a hospital for sick people. You know, we go to Jesus Christ as we are, and we have a Christ that works redemptively within us to glorify us ultimately, but in the process of life to change us day by day through the process of sanctification. So God is working redemptively within your life. And we all struggle with some besetting sin. I mean, that's just the frailty of the human nature. And it's the fact that even though as sinners, we are just as though we had never sinned. We are yet struggling with the powerful lure of sin, as Paul delineates in Romans chapter 7 with respect to himself. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament epistles and yet acknowledges that the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, I do. Who can save me from this body of death? So I think it's important to recognize that you can go to God just as you are, that he loves you just as you are, and that he will work redemptively in your life to help you because you definitely want help. Now, that does not mean your problems are going to go away. They may not. Some people struggle with besetting sins all their life, but that does not keep them from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just, he forgives you, and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Right. Okay. And plus, with all of this recovery entering into my life now, it's been almost a week or so, I'm noticing that I'm gone from my family a lot. And that doesn't make me happy. I feel like maybe I'm being selfish doing
no,
that.
No. I mean, look, if you're involved in a metaphysical problem, it means that there is going to be a time factor involved. If you had cancer, you'd be away from your family a lot as well. You'd be in the hospital. So, no, I mean, look, you can heap guilt upon yourself, but I think what you're doing is you're taking steps to remedy a besetting sin. And I think that's a wonderful thing, and I think the Lord is pleased with you, Samantha.
Okay. It's taken me a lot of years to get there, Hank, and I feel like he really arranged it to where I had no other recourse except for, you know, jails or institutions.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, bless you, Samantha. Don't fear the Lord. He loves you and he accepts you as you are.
Right. Okay, that's very nice to hear, Hank. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bless you and partake of the means of grace. You know, get into the Word. Get the Word of God into you. Don't forget the main and the plain things, you know, connected to a healthy, well-balanced church, praying to God, recognizing that that is a way that you develop intimacy with the lover of your soul and so on. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ben, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Ben.
Hi. My question has to do with reconciling the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. So, in other words, the God of the Old Testament is described by a couple of people. For instance, says, conquer this land, kill all the men, women, and children. And yet in the New Testament, it says that we shouldn't murder and that we shouldn't harm the head of a child, these sort of things. And I'd like to draw attention to two different things that I'm conflicted with. First of all, in one argument could be that we are, in the Old Testament, saying that we should conquer and kill all of the men, women, and children might be because of the influence of those women or men on the lives of the believers, and maybe even that the children would be outcasts growing up in a foreign land. So that's one possibility. Then there's the possibility that in that the people in the Old Testament at the time were, I guess the word was written based on the impact of the culture at the time, and that all the cultures back there operated that way, and that was how they described and felt like their gods communicated with them. The problem that I have with that is, where do you draw the line? So in other words, if it wasn't actually God's will that they go in and kill the men, women, and children, but yet just their take on what God was telling them, where do you draw the line as far as the Bible and whether or not it's legitimate, the words? And please, I'm looking for your take.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say this, that it's very important to recognize that there's no dichotomy between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. And a text without a context is a pretext. God's commands to destroy the nations inhabiting the promised land of Canaan should never be interpreted in isolation from their immediate context. because the command to destroy them totally is contextualized. It's contextualized by words such as, do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your sons and daughters away from following me to serve other gods. This is what you are to do. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their poles, burn their idols. Because the aim of God's command was not the obliteration of the wicked, it was the obliteration of wickedness. And therefore, we can see that God's instructions are qualified by his intentions to spare the repentant. And you see this as the author of Hebrews shines a light on the Old Testament. And he says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Not only were Rahab and her family spared on account of her faith, she was allowed to live among the Israelites and came to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So God's desire to spare the pagan city of Nineveh gives you even more proof of the extent of his mercy. So no, there's no dichotomy between the God of the Old and the God of the New Testament. They are the same God, equally just and equally loving. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand." To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a postscript to the question I got just before the break. So many people think that there was a Canaanite Holocaust, as it were, when Joshua led the children of Israel into the Promised Land, but there's no indication whatsoever in the Bible of that. In fact, there's a contrary indication that large parts of Canaan, including Jerusalem, remained under the control of the Canaanites. And the battles chronicled in Joshua are aimed at dethroning kings from north and south whose religions and their dictatorship not only mocked the Creator, but made snake worship, fertility cults, child sacrifice, the abuse of women the norm. And that was an example of the depths of human depravity. And yet God spared the repentant. God not only spared the repentant, but there were laws invoked to protect the foreigner and the alien in the land. And all the repentant were spared, and they weren't judged. They were given mercy. And we see this over and over again in the Old Testament. And so often secularists bring this up as though the God of the Old Testament is evil and they have a higher standard and we're now sophisticated. Well, if you think we're sophisticated, look at abortion. Look at Stalin, 30 million deaths. Mao, 65 million. The 20th century and now the 21st century may well stand as the bloodiest centuries in history. So we should not impugn the God of the Old Testament because there's no warrant for it whatsoever, nor should we suggest in any sense that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are indeed different. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Kim in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my question. The church teaches that absent from the body, you'll be present with the Lord. And if a child dies before the age of accountability, it makes it to heaven. But Jesus said that you must be born again. So my question is, at what point in time will this spirit have the opportunity to accept or reject Christ? Would it be during the thousand-year reign of Christ?
Well, no, it would not. And I think what's important to recognize is that when we talk about the age of accountability, to some degree, we are making a theological deduction based on the nature of God. So the Bible presents a God that is altogether just and a God who's altogether loving. And therefore, the theological deduction based on the words of Scripture is that a God of love and justice is not going to find obstacles to keep people out of his presence, but rather is doing all that we might be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. And there are some whispers in Scripture that point to the fact that those who, before the age of accountability, die will be in God's presence, not the least of which is David's child that dies. And David is assuredly telling us in Scripture that one day he will be with his child in eternity. So there are whispers in Scripture that point in the direction of those who die before the age of accountability being with God. But ultimately, I think the principle also is that it's not the absence of truth that damns, it is the despising of truth that damns. And therefore, we can rightly say that everyone has an opportunity, once they come to an age of reason, to receive Christ because we have the light of creation, we have the light of conscience, and if we respond to that, we can, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 3, we can have the light of Christ as well.
Okay, so they will make it to heaven. From the deductions, you see it.
Yes, that is my belief. We had a preborn child that died named Baby Grace, and we are absolutely convinced on the basis of our study of Scripture, I'm talking about my wife and myself, that one day we will see Baby Grace in eternity, that her DNA will flourish to complete perfection in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, and that she will be what she would have been had sin never entered the world. So we look forward to seeing her in eternity, and we believe that there's ample biblical precedent for believing that as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Pat in Lebanon, Missouri. Hi, Pat.
Good afternoon, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes, I just have a couple of very, very quick questions about a couple of evangelists that I've heard of and just want your opinion on it. First of all, Jack Van Impe is on every Sunday morning, and my husband watches him. Some of the things he says just don't sound right to me. What's your opinion of his evangelism?
Well, you know, you have to really be careful with a guy like Jack Van Impe in that he is constantly prostituting the Word of God. On top of that, he is constantly making false predictions. He was the guy that predicted that the Soviet flag would fly over Independence Hall in Philadelphia by 1976. And he, of course, warned his constituencies not to fly after December 31st, 1999, presumably because of Y2K. In his view, that could be the prelude to the final sign before Christ's return. He also predicted the end of the world in 1996 and argued that world history would last 6,000 years from 4004 BC to 1996. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Eldon in Richmond, Missouri. Hi, Eldon.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate your ministry. I call it pretty often. I have a question. One of my best friends is, he's Catholic, and he's the kind of Catholic that's Catholic because his dad is Catholic, and he goes on Easter and Christmas, basically. He's been a Christian. We've talked a lot about Christ, but he has really started studying Kung Fu intensely. And in our last several conversations on the telephone, we live quite a ways apart, it's really becoming apparent to me that he's being wooed by Buddhism. And our last conversation, he told me that Buddhism refers to God as the universe, but Christ said, "I am known by many names." And I cannot find that anywhere in our Bible, but I was thinking Catholics have some extra books.
Well, this doesn't come out of Catholicism. This comes out of an offshoot of Hinduism. Buddhism is a historical offshoot of Hinduism. And as a result, it is a view of reality in which you can become one with the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. And of course, it sets itself apart from Christianity in a lot of different ways, in sharp contrast to the Buddhist teaching that we should eliminate desire. The Bible teaches that we must exercise spiritual disciplines in order to transform our desires. And of course, so often, especially those that get involved in Zen Buddhism, they use all these kinds of nonsensical riddles or what they call cones as a way to attack reason and logic. And the purpose is to achieve an altered state of reality or consciousness. And by that, you can tap into the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe.
Do you know if in the Catholic extra four or five books, does it ever say that I am known by many names? I'm getting ready to confront him.
I mean, God is known by many names, but that doesn't make his point anyway. I mean, God is known by all kinds of names and by all kinds of titles, biblically.
Well, that's true, I guess. Do you think that is... I'm really struggling with whether I should confront him because I'm afraid it might cut off the friendship, but it seems to me that the Bible indicates that's our job.
Well, yeah, what I think is really important is to equip yourself, just as you're doing right now. Equip yourself, and then when God opens the opportunity, you can step through that doorway and be an effective witness. And I oftentimes say, I mean, witness by your love and by your life, and if necessary, use words, which is to say the love and life will open him up to wanting to hear what you have to say. And so far from repelling him, it will attract him and institute or even deepen the relationship that you already have.
Well, great. Thank you. That's excellent counsel.
Well, I appreciate you caring, Eldon.
Thanks very much, Hank.
God bless you. And, of course, the stated objective of Zen Buddhism is enlightenment, the inner perception that all of reality is one, and duality is an unenlightened illusion. Enlightenment is said to be the key to extinguishing individual identity and the doorway to nirvana. As the golf mantra goes, be the ball. And enlightenment, of course, is achieved in a lot of different ways, but none of them correspond to reality. Certainly, they don't correspond to biblical reality. I've written about Buddhism in general and Zen Buddhism in particular in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For those who join the support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And we need many of you this month to join. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants at number 888-7000-CRI. Thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for your prayers and support.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.